Garden Basics with Farmer Fred is brought to you by Smart Pots, the original lightweight, long-lasting fabric plant container. It's made in the USA. Visit smartpots.com/Fred for more information and a special discount. That's smartpots.com/Fred. Welcome to the Garden Basics with Farmer Fred podcast. If you're just a beginning gardener or you want good gardening information, well, you've come to the right spot. So you want to grow an avocado tree, huh? Well, I can't say it'll work where you live, but hey, what the heck? You got to try, right? We've got tips for you to give it a good start no matter where you are. It's Fabulous Fruit Friday, and today we tackle the persnickety but popular avocado with fruit tree expert Ed Livo. And horticulture professor Debbie Flower fights off the spider mites on your plants. It's episode 59 of the Garden Basics with Farmer Fred podcast, brought to you by Smart Pots and Tomorrow's Harvest. And we'll do it all in under 30 minutes. Let's go. There's a reason the Food Network website lists nearly 2,600 recipes with avocado as an ingredient. A lot of people crave that luscious, creamy fruit. So why not grow your own? Oh, I see why. Because you don't live in California. Well, even people in California have a hard time growing the avocado tree. Just go look at the Farmer Fred Ramp blog page and take a look at the post I put up there something like 7 years ago entitled Avocado Trees in Sacramento. Good luck. To this day, it is still getting comments from people who see the occasional avocado tree here in Northern California and think they can grow it. Oh, if only that were so. And how many of you, no matter where you live, have taken that avocado pit, stuck toothpicks in it, suspended it into a glass of water, it sprouted, and you planted it? What happened? Well, let's talk about what happens when you plant avocado seeds and how you try to grow avocado trees. Can you grow avocado trees where you live? Let's turn to Ed Livo of tomorrowsharvest.com. Tomorrow's Harvest, by the way, sells something like what, Ed, 8 different avocado varieties?
Yeah, I think so, roughly, Fred.
Where are avocados grown commercially?
Southern California and Mexico.
That's it. Not even Texas, Arizona, and Florida?
You know, I can't say honestly, but I don't think so. I think in Florida, absolutely. They're not as, I don't think they're as intensely flavored as the Mexican and Guatemalan varieties myself.
Let's talk about the avocado varieties grown by Tomorrow's Harvest. Those, I would imagine, would be adaptable mainly to Southern and Central California.
Correct. Yeah.
Now that's not to say they're not trying to grow avocados commercially in the Great Central Valley. I know there are a lot of experiments going on and some test plots to grow avocados in around Fresno, for example.
I think it has more to do with climate change and our ability to, you know, to see that avocados now are becoming more and more adapted. And I know you and I, you know, traditionally have had this adversity to even recommending avocados in Northern California.
Let's talk about the right conditions for growing avocados. First of all, the temperature range. If you think about Southern California and the avocado region down there, you're thinking of a temperature range that might be highs probably no more than 85 usually, and lows not dipping below 45.
That would be your typical, you know, let's say Southern California temperature range, like Riverside East.
And that's fine. And how many areas of the country have that 40 degree range? Not too many.
Not a lot. And I'm sure, you know, and this is definitely going to be just my inexperience with being able to tell you exactly where, you know, avocados are grown, but I'm sure there's avocados that are grown, you know, down in the southern belt there along the coastal belt. I'm sure there's avocado varieties that can be grown down in that area as well, but I'm just not as familiar with those as I am, of course, the California varieties.
All right, let's also look at other aspects of the climate that avocados need. Look at any instructions for growing an avocado tree, and the subject of irrigation comes up, and it always says the same thing. Avocados require moist but well-drained soil. What the heck is that?
Well, let me tell you what that means. That means is that they like excellent, above excellent. They want perfect drainage. And they're very susceptible to a disease called Phytophthora root rot, which, of course, attacks a lot of different plant material. But avocados are particularly susceptible and, will flat out die in poor draining soils. And then, to your point, when you are even, keeping the soil moist, you don't want to underwater them and you don't want to overwater them. So we don't want to make them sound like they're too temperamental, but boy, maybe they are a little bit.
So if you can conquer the watering and the drainage issue, if you've got fairly moderate temperatures, I would think avocados, in order for pollination to occur, they need a little bit of wind.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah. And of course, it depends on where you're at. Southern California, you have to go with the A and B types of avocados planted together, to ensure that you get cross-pollinization. But in Northern California, the avocados get thrown out of sink so much that actually the pattern of flowering that's very, very unique. There's a very unique pattern to how the avocado flowers, with the male flower opening one night and one day and then opening the next day as a female flower. And it's very intricate. But in Northern California, because of the temperatures, we find that the avocados are thrown so out of sync that they really don't have a great synchronization in terms of that flowering pattern. And so many varieties of avocados up here are dependably self-fruitful.
Because of the stress.
Correct. Yeah, because of the stress.
Let's talk a little bit about what we mean when we say A flower and B flower at the Farmer Fred Rant blog page on that post I mentioned about avocados. The explanation from the California Rare Fruit Growers Association points out that avocado flowers are either receptive to pollen in the morning and shed the pollen the following afternoon, that would be a type A flower, or are receptive to pollen in the afternoon and shed pollen the following morning. That would be type B. Right. And among the more popular type A flower variety avocados would be Mexicola and Pinkerton. And the type B flowers that might stand a chance in USDA Zone 9, Bacon, Jim, Zutano, Fuerte, Surprise, and Stewart.
Yeah, Reed avocado is an A variety similar to Haas, and so it requires a B flower similar. So a Fuerte would work, a Surprise would work, a Bacon would work. These are all B varieties, and they would pollinate, or they would work as a companion to the Reed. And I think that what we're finding is that Haas will do well. And the variety that Carmen Haas is really interesting in that, it can have two crops a season. It has a characteristic which is called off-season cropping, which it flowers when the plant shouldn't be flowering. It's an interesting phenomenon. And this Carmen Haas actually has that characteristic. And it's not any different than a Haas. I think it's a sport of a Haas, as a matter of fact. In this day and age, what we're looking at is size control on avocados, Fred. So I would recommend that, there's some wonderful varieties of avocados. And because we are in such a transition period for our climate and, it seems, of course, that it's getting milder. Really, I think size control becomes the key. Grow your favorite avocado or grow a variety that you have heard that's spectacular, like the Reed, and cover it and protect it during the colder winters. I mean, it doesn't require anything other than a simple protection. Haas is got a little bit more cold tolerance than, say, a variety like Reed. Reed is one of the most spectacular avocados you could ever eat, but it's definitely a little bit more cold sensitive, down to about 30 degrees where it starts to have trouble, where Haas can go just a little bit lower. The varieties that you've said are actually good at 28. And one of those, I think the Fuerte, that's one of the oldest of the, let's say, commercial varieties of avocados in California. And I would still hold up a great Fuerte against a Haas any day. And I'm sure my colleagues would argue with me, but I really, really like the Fuerte. I think it has excellent flavor. It's just that the Fuerte tends to be what they call an alternate bearer at times. So you're not going to get as heavy a crop like every other year off of the Fuerte. So that's why it lost its commercial popularity.
For those who aren't familiar with that, the Fuerte, which is spelled, by the way, F-U-E-R-T-E, is a very popular variety in the marginal areas of USDA Zone 9. And one of the comments at the Farmer Fred Rant blog page comes from a neighbor of yours in Brentwood in eastern Contra Costa County, Ed.
Yeah.
And very windy there. And this person says, I am growing the Fuerte, Mexicola, Bacon, Reed, Pinkerton, and the Lamb Haas. I've done years of research. I have visited trees from Napa to Oakland to Lodi to Santa Cruz. From what I hear, Surprise and Stewart are not heavy producers in Northern California, although they will survive but not thrive. So I hear from people who have them. For good odds, Mexicola, Zutano, Bacon, and Fuerte. Of these, Fuerte and Mexicola are the most flavorful, but Bacon and Zutano's butteriness is excellent for those who want variety. Of these, Bacon is slightly tastier and often the favorite for a lot of people, and it makes for an excellent sandwich avocado as well.
I agree with that. I would add Pinkerton into that mix as well. And the Reed is definitely not one that would typically be recommended for somebody living in Brentwood. I can assure you that. But in fact, of all of those, I would say the Reed is by far the most fabulous flavored variety of avocado there is. And I think anybody who knows avocados would agree with that. There are more avant-garde avocados and there's newer avocados that are being introduced all the time. But the Reed has truly become one of the standards, I think, for top quality avocados. And then that Pinkerton is right there, too. It's a fabulous flavored variety.
I don't want anybody to get confused about where Brentwood is. We're not talking about the very Tony Brentwood near Beverly Hills. The town of Brentwood in eastern Contra Costa County, you could safely say, is a working class town.
It is. Yeah, it's a farming town, as a matter of fact. There's all sorts of farms all over Brentwood. It's famous for its corn and cherries. There's many, many, many U-picks all over the place of cherry orchards, and there's all kinds of Brentwood corn that's grown everywhere as well. And also my good friends, and I'll give them a plug at Frog Hollow Farms, which do just the most wonderful palette of fruit that they sell online and sell direct to the consuming public. They have a sensational selection of fruit.
Smart Pots are the original award-winning fabric planter. They're sold worldwide. Smart Pots are proudly made 100% in the USA. Smart Pots are also BPA-free. There's no risk of chemicals leaching into the soil, your herbs, vegetables, and other edibles. That's why organic growers prefer Smart Pots. Smart Pots' breathable fabric creates a healthy root structure for plants. Smart Pots come in a wide array of sizes, and they can be reused year after year. Speaking of the cold weather that's on the way, if a frost or freeze is in the forecast, moving your frost tender plants that are in the Smart Pots that have handles makes them even easier to move closer to the house for added warmth, or you could even move them inside for the winter. Visit smartpots.com/Fred for more information about the complete line of Smart Pots lightweight fabric containers. It's Smart Pots, the original award-winning fabric planter. Go to smartpots.com/Fred for more info and that special Farmer Fred discount on your next Smart Pot purchase. Go to smartpots.com/Fred. Let's get back to our conversation with Ed Livo from tomorrowsharvest.com with avocado basics. So would it be advisable if people wanted to experiment to grow avocado that they buy one that has an A flower than a different variety that has a B flower?
Well, you know, it's funny because I wrote about the Reed just recently, and I recommend that even if you're up in a more marginal climate where, you know, the recommendation tends to suggest that you can grow these without a pollinator or without a bee flower, Reed actually is a bee flower and requires an A type. But if you're in those areas, then really what I recommend is that you plant two, simply because why not increase the odds and then attain that you're going to get fruit? And then also, you know, avocados do have a tendency to be alternate bearers. I think that the real rationale for planting two becomes play the odds that you're going to get one of them to produce every year. You know, they don't make great houseplants, you know, despite the fact that you can plant that seed, you know, of course, and put your toothpicks in. And it really seems to acclimate to the home really, really quickly, which it does. But in fact, you know, if you want to do them from seed, your avocado could take as long as like 10 years to produce fruit. And then to find out, of course, that fruit wasn't worth the wait would be even more discouraging. You know, enjoy your seed and push it. And I can honestly tell you that more than likely, most of the avocados that are planted in Northern California probably came to being that way because, you know, there weren't a lot of avocados available up in this market, up in the Northern California market, let's say before, I would say maybe the mid 80s, you know, before companies like Laverne Nursery down in Southern California made them available, started making them readily available. But before that, I mean, seedlings were it.
Getting back to the soil that avocados require, the moist but well-drained soil, I would think they would have a difficult time in heavy clay soil.
They have a terrible time. So you elevate them, you know, you get your, you know, elevated planting up. I would listen to the last week's episode where you and I talked about raised beds, because that would be the ideal way to approach your heavy clay soils and planting your avocado.
One comment at the Farmer Fred Rant blog page on that posting about avocados, Sandy wrote in and said, if you buy your avocado trees from a big box store, you'll need to remove the potting mix as soon as possible. The wood chips in those pots will cause root rot. True? Not true?
I mean, that's interesting. That could be a possibility simply because the wood chips could hold moisture. Absolutely. Hey, That'd be a concern. You know, I wouldn't want a tremendous amount of organic matter in my soil because that would have too much water holding capacity. Yeah, you should be concerned about that.
You have been famous on this program for saying you don't fertilize your trees. Do you not fertilize avocado trees?
Wow, what a great question. How about this? I fertilize avocado trees, absolutely. Mostly because my experience with growing them is primarily in the nursery. So I've grown them in the nurseries for years. As far as having my own avocado trees to grow, I don't have them. I've tried container growing. I had a long, long experiment with growing all sorts of varieties and avocados in containers back in the 90s. And I think I probably grew about 10 different varieties and tried different rootstocks and was really unsuccessful in growing, at least the way I would like to be, you know, growing in containers with avocados, really unsuccessful with growing avocados in containers. So I kind of gave up on that because I thought the best way to grow avocados was to be growing in containers where you have the ability to pull them in and protect them during the wintertime. And so I thought that that would increase, you know, our ability to be able to go out and represent avocados to the, you know, to the consumer. But I failed miserably.
Okay, well, that brings up another point that we like to talk about when we're talking citrus is to protect them in the wintertime, bring them indoors, and then stick them back out in spring. Can the avocado take that kind of stress?
No, I don't think so. It doesn't like to be moved. That's really what I found was, and if you move it a lot, it kind of gets temperamental and it'll defoliate. And the problem that I had with these container, and some of these container avocados, mind you, I didn't do this for a year or two. I had some of these container avocados for up to probably 8 or 9 years and just kept trying everything in the world. But they will defoliate. And when they defoliate, they'll stay defoliated all winter or all summer long. And so they become real susceptible to sunburn because they're very sensitive to sunburn. So you have to make sure that you're protecting the trunk. Well, if they defoliate, then protecting the trunk becomes an extra difficult job because literally you have to pull them into the shade because you can't paint the entire tree. Because as I'm told, the avocado can photosynthesize on its trunk. So definitely that is something that you want to protect. So there's a lot of very, very soft green wood all over this avocado. And I've been brought to understand that photosynthesizes. So you don't want to paint anything other than the hardened off, you know, brown trunk.
Oh, wow. That's good to know that if a lot of people are in the habit in to protect the bark of and the tree itself from sunscald to paint the trunk of the tree, especially new trees. And now you're saying wait till it hardens off.
The new trees, you know, it's all right to take and protect the lower part of the tree. That I think goes without saying. You have to protect the lower part of the tree. And so, no, paint the lower part of the tree.
Okay. And when we're talking painting, we're talking using a 50-50 mix of interior white latex paint or some pastel color and water.
Correct.
Right. I know. Yeah. You love pastels.
I do. As long as they're light and bright and reflective, have fun. Go with light lime green for an avocado. Mm, that'd be incredible. Okay. That'd be beautiful.
All right. Let's give some hope to all those people listening who are more concerned that their snowblower is going to start. Can they grow an avocado? You talked about size control. We've talked about greenhouses on this program. Can you grow a sized control avocado in a greenhouse in a cold climate?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, that I've got lots of people that I've talked to through the years that, you know, successfully grow avocados in heated greenhouses around the United States. Definitely, you know, it means that it has to be almost a commercial greenhouse. But, you know, if you have a well-built, well-insulated, and then heated greenhouse, you probably can grow an avocado just about anywhere.
What varieties take best to being grown in a greenhouse, considering that the height of most home greenhouses aren't usually more than 10 or 12 feet?
Well, you know, Mexicola Grande are going to be the ones that everybody's going to try first. But I think with pruning, I don't think you're limited. I think you're limited only by what, you know, you choose not to prune on any variety of fruit. But avocados, if I'm going to grow them in a greenhouse, I don't care what variety it is. You know, you're going to have to prune it. So why not just pick something great and, you know, and work with it and then keep it short?
When is avocado pruning season?
Huh. Well, as a matter of fact, I had a whole greenhouse full of avocados that I just left at work today. And as a matter of fact, we had to go through and top all of them because they were getting too tall. Avocado pruning season traditionally for something in the ground would probably be in the spring. But keep in mind this, that, you know, any time during the season that you need to prune your avocado is going to be fine.
What are some good training wheel varieties of avocados for the home gardener to try?
Well, you know, of course, you're gonna start out with, you know, Mexicola or Mexicola Grande. Those are probably two of the most popular varieties for the the more marginal areas for avocados.
All right.
But the I think after that, everybody wants to do a Haas, you know, and you should try a Haas. I mean, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that at all. But then, you know, when you start to get into some of what I consider the flavor bombs are going to be like the Forte, okay, and the Pinkerton and the Reed. I mean, these are all what I consider to be, you know, the real, real wonderful flavored avocados, you know. And then of course, you know, the bacon always works as a great pollinator for most of the A type avocados. So it's real popular for that.
According to UC Riverside, of these varieties, the Mexicola ripens from August through October. The Pinkerton, the commercial harvest begins in January in some of those commercial areas. According to UC Riverside, the Bacon avocado matures November to January in Orange County, December to March in Ventura County. The Zutano ripens in October to December. The Fuerte is ready to pick in November.
And Haas is April through October. Reed is July and October. I'm right about that. I know Reed. Zutano is October through March, so it's a winter ripener. Zutanos are a good variety as well. Pinkerton's December through April.
I think we should do a shameless plug for the varieties at tomorrowsharvest.com.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we have about all the varieties of avocados that are popular for Northern California, and I would definitely recommend that you come check out the Tomorrow's Harvest site and find what is in offering. I think as far as the great varieties that we have right now, we have a great selection of Reeds, and we have a great selection of the Carmen Haas. We have Haas, of course, and then, you know, to pollinate the whole bunch, we have a Bacon's. So those all work well together.
Find it at tomorrowsharvest.com. Avocado trees, berry bushes, citrus trees, fruit trees, and a lot more. Tomorrowsharvest.com from that location. Ed Livo, it's Fabulous Fruit Friday, and it can't be fabulous unless you have avocados.
I couldn't agree more, Fred.
We We like to answer your garden questions here on the Garden Basics Podcast with Farmer Fred, and we like to bring in somebody who knows something about how to answer questions, and who better than a college horticulture professor, retired, such as Debbie Flower. And Debbie, Mike sent us a picture of his tomato plants. He says, I haven't been able to get into my garden for several weeks, but when I went out this morning, this is what I found. There's no signs of munching on foliage or fruit. Should I break out the napalm? And we should point out that it looks like his tomato plants, besides being very crinkled and curled leaves, are covered in webbing. And in the very last picture is the telltale sign of tomato worm poop. So there may be many issues going on here, but I think what he's most concerned about is all that webbing that's in the tomato plant.
Yeah, that's an amazing amount of webbing. I don't think I've ever seen that much webbing on a tomato plant. The other telltale sign, which is not easy to see because of all the webbing, is something called stippling. Stippling is when the chlorophyll is no longer in the leaf, and so you get lots of yellow spots on the leaf, very tiny yellow spots. So it looks like it's spotted with gold dust or something, very small yellow dots. So that and the webbing together would lead me to believe that he has spider mites. Spider mites love dry, dusty places. And we are right now in California, where we haven't had rain since, I don't know, May. It's very dusty. And that builds up the really nice places for those spider mites to live. I assume it's a protection from the things that eat them to be in this dry, dusty place. And his tomatoes don't appear to be caged or staked. They're just on the ground, sort of in a heap, which creates lots of nice hiding places for insects as well. I suspect that he maybe had another insect problem previous in the season, possibly aphids, which are very common in the vegetable garden. And he used a pesticide on his tomatoes to control the aphids. A common pesticide for that would be malathion. Malathion, unfortunately, kills lots of beneficial insects, including the ones that will kill spider mites. And so I've seen it happen in greenhouses. I've seen it happen in gardens before. The gardener gets an insect pest, an aphid pest, uses malathion with great success. The aphids are gone. And then all of a sudden you have a huge, huge spider mite problem. As for control, well, it's very much the end of the tomato season. But I would, if I really wanted to keep them growing, I would go in and spray them with water. They really dislike water. I might try to stretch the plants out. It's going to be difficult. They're going to be big and heavy, and they may have rooted into the ground in multiple places. But you need to spray the water on top of the plant, under the plant. There are other pesticides you can use for spider mites, and that would include neem oil and insecticidal soap. It's just an incredible amount of webbing. I have never seen that much webbing from spider mites. That's a huge population of very busy little spider mites.
I would think one strategy for controlling future mite outbreaks is clean up and get rid of all those infested plants. Don't try to compost them. Just put them in the trash.
Right. Spider mites stick their mouth parts into the cells and suck out the contents, which is why you get that stippling look, those yellow dots. So the plants have been weakened. The season is winding down for tomatoes. Yes, I agree. Take them out and put them in the green waste bin.
As they say on Star Trek, he's dead, Jim. So get rid of those tomato plants and start again next year with a nice clean bed. And remember, to kill spider mites, you need a miticide. But actually, as you mentioned, a control of water applied dutifully on a regular basis can help control them.
Yeah, that just changes the environment, and that would be a first step. It changes the environment away from something the spider mites like into something they dislike, and so they'll move out, find another home. But you have to be persistent.
There you go, Debbie Flower. Thanks for answering some of our garden questions.
Always a pleasure, Fred. Thanks for having me.
For a gardener, fall is for planting. The air is cooler than summer, the soil warmer than spring. It's the ideal conditions for getting your home orchard started with the outstanding fruit and nut trees as well as berry plants from Tomorrow's Harvest. Tomorrow's Harvest fine line of fruit trees is the result of 75 years of development, testing, and growing. Three generations of the Birchall family have been at the forefront of research and development of plants of the highest quality. All of these beautiful edible plants have been carefully cultivated for your home garden. Look for Tomorrow's Harvest fruit trees at better retail nurseries everywhere, or you can order them directly from tomorrowsharvest.com. Let the Birchall family's three generations of experience take root in your home orchard, landscape, and garden. It's tomorrowsharvest.com. It's goodness you can grow. The Garden Basics podcast is going to a winter schedule, maybe just like your favorite local nursery. November through January, Garden Basics will come out once a week on Fridays. Then, as the weather warms back up in February, we'll return to our twice-a-week schedule. Thank you for listening, subscribing, and leaving comments. We appreciate that you've included us in your garden life.